I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of all
everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I'd like to take this opportunity to thank all those people who have been emailing in and commenting on the show and on the odd occasion asking questions. I'd like to again make my email address available, and it's at paperfungo, paperfungo, at yahoo.ca. So that's paperfungo at yahoo.ca for those who have comments about the show or who would like to ask questions. And speaking of asking questions, I'd like to give the phone numbers for those that haven't noticed them before so that you're able to give us a call live online here tonight and ask questions about anything that we've talked about on ET Yoga. Or in general, as long as it's related to consciousness or improving the immune system or anything that you might be interested in an opinion on concerning extraterrestrials. And the toll-free numbers for Canada is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And toll-free in the U.S. is 888-876-5227. That's 888-876-5227. Thank you. I just heard a correction that the U.S. number was 877-5227. So that's 877-5227. Okay, I got a correction on that. So it's 877-876-5227 for the U.S. So I'll repeat that one more time because I'm sure I confused everybody. That's 877-876-5227. So for those having questions, just like to call in, please give us a call. Now, the first thing I'd like to start off with this evening would be an advanced technique from Bashar, and it's called Riding the Leading Edge of Consciousness, and Bashar has indicated that certainly the 2012 earmarks a time for that leading edge. And for many people who are riding that edge, I guess the assumption would be that there would be people making ascension at that time. And one of the ways to keep on the leading edge was the technique that excuse me, Bashar gave some time ago. And it basically is a message to and from your higher self in a language that your rational mind can understand. And personally, I've never heard of such a thing. And I've been using the technique, and I find it quite useful and hope you will. And the technique is as follows. The mantra, so to speak, in language is, outer circumstances don't matter. Only my state of being matters. What state of being do I prefer? And If it's joy, then say joy, and then act on a situation from that perspective. Now, when Bashar says that outer circumstances don't matter, he's not saying they're irrelevant. If you go into the meaning, he's really saying that outer circumstances don't create further circumstances. Our beliefs, definitions, and our judgments on outer circumstances are what create future circumstances. And it's a very important point, because if you understand this, you can appreciate that your state of being is the most important factor. Now, again, I have stated that this is a message from and to your higher self in language the rational mind can understand. Typically, information coming from the higher self comes in the forms of intuitions and urges, feelings, those kinds of communications, which are filtered by the brain and eventually coming to the rational mind. And if you consider the template that Bashar would use, which is higher mind, brain, and rational mind, he equates these as the higher self is the creator of ideas, and the physical brain is the receiver, and the rational mind is the perceiver of events. And notice perceiver meaning past tense, as in perceived. So this particular mantra, which is, again, outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters, I think this is just a fabulous way that the rational mind can understand the communication from the higher self. And if anybody knows of another one like that, I would certainly like to hear about it. Now, another interesting aspect of this communication is, of course, supported by scientific research. And we brought this up on previous shows, that the brain in the heart is actually 5,000 times more powerful than the brain in the head. And we're talking about more powerful, meaning that its effect on the outer world. And this is can be physically measured, that we emit a frequency from the heart area that extends from the body about 10 feet. So if you've ever been, standing in a room and not seeing somebody behind you but feeling the vibration, that's the physical reason. And if you take this one step further, that these emotions that we have are so much more powerful than we realize, you can only imagine that our outer circumstance is largely determined by our emotional state. So to me, this is a fantastic technique, and it also ties into the fact that we tend to get lost so much in reacting to outer circumstances in sometimes negative ways or with negative definitions. And by using this technique, you basically determine your emotional state in any given circumstance. So let's use this as a practical example. You are experiencing something that you would normally call negative in your outer environment, and all of a sudden you use this technique. While using this technique, outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters, you can then throw a positive spin on that situation by saying, I choose to experience the state of being of joy. And even though this may seem difficult at first, if you give this some practice, you'll find that, yes, you can determine your state of being as joy and then act on the situation from that perspective. And so then you're also throwing a positive spin on the outer circumstance, which is another key technique in the Bashar teachings, so that really there's no positive outcome from a negative judgment. And the rule of thumb there is positive identification or judgment in, positive experience out, negative judgment in, negative experience out. So the two techniques actually go hand in hand. And another thing that I would find doing these techniques is that it's somewhat similar to saying, the outer circumstance doesn't need to make you angry. We all, I think, are aware of the fact that we're responsible for our own peace and our own anger, and other people don't make us angry. We allow them to push our buttons. We lose our perspective and thus get lost in anger. So by the same principle, we can choose to not be lost in anger, to have that objectivity and that peace and that perspective on a situation and have control there. And similarly, this technique is along the same idea, that outer circumstances, no matter what they are, you can choose to experience them any way you want. That's your choice. And remember, again, this ties in with the idea that outer circumstances do not come with built-in meaning. So for those people that kind of think, well, you know, this happened, and so obviously you have to react in a certain way. No, you don't have to react in a certain way. And if you're coming from a higher perspective, you can choose how you want to react in any given situation. And to some people in the outer circumstances, they might think you've lost a screw. But the fact of the matter is, you're going to feel a lot better by choosing how you want to react in given situations, taking more control over your personal growth and your personal power, because then you're not so much swayed by outer circumstances. I hope that you'll find that that technique is quite effective. And just the concept alone, that a communication to and from your higher self wakes you up to that line, connects you with that line with your higher self. And any time that you can do this, it keeps you in alignment, following your excitement, and keeping you in a state that you choose to experience. So hoping that that technique will be very beneficial down the line. Now, I'd like to move on this evening to information concerning attaining perfect health. And I've actually put together a couple of e-books that are available at maxwellgreensight.com, and they're called Healing the Known and the Unknown. And as a prelude to that material, I'd like to share with you the following information, which was basically intended to provide you with all the keys and the inner work that would assist you in the process of attaining perfect health. Of course, no subject can be seen in isolation, and it's an attempt to utilize the wisdom of the ancient yogis, extraterrestrial and inner spiritual teachings in a concise and up-to-date fashion. Either on purpose or accidentally, there has been a huge deterioration in the foundational structure of health. And I've been told that almost 70% of the population was healthy in the 60s and only about 2% today, with the majority of people on pills for life or taking pills that in many instances are unnecessary. And it was my hope in writing the e-books that you would see the connection between gaining your power back and healing the known and the unknown, because the two concepts cross over each other. And when you attain the one, you will attain the other, but not in black and white, as you will progress in degrees. Now, from a spiritual perspective, each incarnation has a predetermined purpose, and the time and manner of death is also predetermined. And that information can be expanded on in the Pleiadian workbook, Awakening Your Divine Ka, by Amara Kuan Yin. And your Ka template is located on top of your head at the back of and slightly behind your crown chakra. It is rectangular in shape and encoded with symbols from a sacred language. The symbols closely resemble a combination of Egyptian hieroglyphics and ancient Aramaic. As the Ka energies enter your aura from your fourth dimensional self, they are first received into your Ka template, passing over and through the encoding that delineates your soul and body's blueprint for the use of your Ka in this lifetime. If you have a goal to ascend, that goal is encoded on your template and is activated as your template is cleared and opened. Likewise, if your being has chosen to experience physical death through cancer or any other disease, that information is also encoded on your Ka template. The Pleiadians never interfere with your chosen goals, but they will work with you to obtain whatever is in your highest good. You may have planned prior to your birth in this lifetime to take on genetic illness and limitation for the purpose of transmuting and transcending it. This too is shown on your template, and the transmutation and transcendental processes are accelerated when your Ka template is cleared and activated. When your Ka template is initially cleared and activated, the Ka energies will flow from your template to your pineal gland in the center of your head. Your pineal gland distributes light throughout your body and tells your brain how to run your body systems, mind, emotions, and physical movements. It also regulates the flow of light and energy to the meridian systems through your Ka channels and is vital to your spiritual awakening and enlightenment. Now, Activating Your Divine Ka and Divine Ba are two books that I highly recommend, written by Amora Kuan Yin. Now, a lot of free will, of course, takes place in between, and when I mention the Pleiadians, Amora Kuan Yin's primary connection is with Pleiadian teachings. And there are several meditations involving inner work with Pleiadians, if you so desire to do that. Now, our incarnations are both linear and simultaneous from the higher self's point of view. In my opinion, unnatural attempts to prolong life, clone it, are not in harmony, and no preventive immunization or injections are effective in the long run. That's my opinion. This is because even if you could prevent a particular disease, your mind could always find a new way to sabotage you if self-destruction was the goal. No specific treatment will fix the problem of fear within in this equation. In order to achieve perfect health, and this is a continuous process, person must come into their own personal power, a power where the individual actually feels the unconditional love of God, Prime Creator, or other label chosen to describe the energy of spirit. This whole universe was created with unconditional love, and until we feel this love and love ourselves unconditionally, we are not capable of perfect health or in reflecting unconditional love to others. We do not need protection from anything or anyone, only ourselves. Since we were children, we have learned to give our power away to others, and in many instances, this power was abused. Take a look at any area of stress in your own life where you have problems, where you gave away power. This includes relationships, authority figures, government, education, religious organizations, etc. And you'll see this. No doubt there is a reoccurring theme. Take your power back, and you will be well on your way to taking your health back, and with it, your birthright of being aware that you already have full consciousness, perfect health, and you are always fully abundant. Now, this topic of perfect health is inextricably related to your beliefs. Thus, the amazing and unexplained power of the placebo effect. Researchers have been studying the placebo effect for decades. In 1955, researcher H.K. Beecher published his groundbreaking paper, The Powerful Placebo, in which he concluded that across the 26 breakthrough studies he analyzed, an average of 32% of patients responded to placebo, meaning that they had benefits from substances that should have had zero effect according to logic. Expectation is a powerful thing, says Robert DeLapp, M.D., head of one of the Food and Drug Administration's offices. The more you believe you're going to benefit from a treatment, the more likely it is you will experience a benefit. In spiritual circles, it is a well-known fact that the healer provides the circumstances that allow the patient to heal themselves. Bashar also concurs with this, stating that you create the vibration, and if the patient is ready at that time for healing, then when they match the vibration, the healing occurs. And Bashar also stated that the two facts of life are that we have awareness and we were all created by the unconditional love of God, Prime Creator, or whatever label the finite mind has to make the infinite finite. After that, in order to function in 3D, the personality with its beliefs and definitions, in conjunction with emotions, are utilized similar to a deep-sea diver using a snorkel and goggles to explore the ocean's depth. The goggles are analogous to keeping in line with the energy of the higher self. The outer world, as both science and spiritual teachers conclude, functions as a reflection of our beliefs and definitions. Thought creates, and if indeed we are created in God's image, then we too must be creators. Many of our beliefs have been ingrained since early childhood, and certainly one of the adult tasks is to thank our parents for their positive influences and disregard the negative. It has also been stated by Bashar that no matter the techniques, only minimal results can be expected without a feeling of true self-value, of being loved and deserving. And I think this point gets skipped over a lot. Because people sometimes try a lot of different techniques, but they have not really had a real feeling of true self-value and of being loved and deserving. Then that said, the chief concept to realize is that thought creates. In fact, the development of compassion appears to be the key to transforming carbon-based DNA to silicone and activating dormant or junk DNA. My understanding is that all disease has its source in negative emotion, and at higher vibrational frequencies, disease cannot exist. And this is also confirmed in according in No More Secrets, No More Lies by Patricia Corey's book, and that's the Sin, Theory, and Revelations, that disease exists at a vibratory level in humans, and it cannot exist when six strands of DNA are activated. So there's no other cause of pain except judgment. That which you invalidate, you empower. Like fear, that which you fear, you draw to you. It has also been said that joyous people have no diseases of the body. Of course, this term is relative. For instance, I have read a channeling by Master Kathumi that the average person vibrates at about 400 cycles in the measurement used, and more higher evolved people vibrate at about 900 cycles, and crystals vibrate at about 4,620 cycles. This is consistent with Bashar information, which states that crystals are a link to the next dimension, and thus their amazing healing properties. The feeling center is open when you have a greater laughter, and when a situation occurs that you judge to be painful, or you are in fear and trepidation, then this energy center in your stomach is closed. And when the energy has nowhere to go, it causes pain. In a sense, a lack of proper feeling. I might also add that you can find crystal tetrahedrons on the internet, and those are a very, very powerful tool. And you can imagine with a high vibrational level of crystals how this could be beneficial to your overall frequency. I might also add that crystals have a consciousness of their own. That's another subject to be explored. Now, this brings us to the topic of fear, and all fear has some element of faulty reasoning. When energy flows through a negative belief or definition, it is experienced as fear, and it is not in alignment with your higher self. Energy that has flowed through positive beliefs is experienced as excitement, joy, magic, and love, and is in alignment with your higher self. Thus, the previous technique of outer circumstances don't matter, only my state of being matters, and if I choose to experience the situation through joy, again, alignment with the higher self. And all fear ultimately relates to the fear of death, which is the core fear. Now, underlying this core fear is unconditional love, and that's also confirmed by Bashar. The entire universe was created with love. Its physical characteristic in 3D is gravity. I refer the reader to Dan Winter and his website for a technical explanation. And those who create fear in order to protect you, co-create you as a victim. This victim mentality is what currently permeates our culture. First and foremost, if you understand that we are 100% creators of our outer world and experience, then we take 100% responsibility. As soon as you blame someone for your current circumstance, you create yourself as a victim and powerless. In order to unload a lot of past emotional baggage, it is necessary to take full responsibility for you. Now there is no one to blame. Onwards and upwards, as they say. If I am the only one who can create in my reality, then I must be the authority of it. However, in an attempt to avoid taking responsibility for being that authority, I can choose to falsely believe that someone or something has power over me, And that's a direct quote from Mother Mary. And for those interested in the ultimate truths of reality, I suggest you going to the website College of Christ Consciousness, where there's the channeling by Gene Hatch of Mother Mary, and this concept is gone into detail. A very nice way to deal with fear is to put light on it. Oh, joy of fear, like a key on a piano that is out of tune. Fear grabs your attention so you can tune it up. Turn this curiosity to joy through proper understanding, and fear will vanish. Fear, pain exists because we believe we are not loved in a particular area. So when we realize that it is a false belief, a pain no longer exists, and our fear turns to joy. Fear needs its polarity in order to flourish. If you view a situation with compassion and embrace the fear, you can transform it. I should mention that self-judgment related to shame or guilt that is stored in the subconscious is another cause of disease. In some cases, this is fear that has been moved to denial and buried away. Offering your guilt, shame, and judgments to God or your belief in a higher power is very useful. Fear can also be concealed by judgment, what you judge you fear. Another useful technique is to replace the negative belief with a positive one. And I refer the listeners to Manifesting Your Dreams in the 21st Century. That's a CD available at bashar.org. This is a great explanation of using the tools to identify and change your beliefs, ultimately empowering you to live an exciting, joyous, magical, and love-filled life by stating that you choose this because you can feel that you are supported by the unconditional love of God. And I also mentioned last week that is a sequence to those changing beliefs, transforming core beliefs, which is a more recent CD available at bashar.org. It is incredible, really getting at the core beliefs. Now, you get what you concentrate on, and it's not seeing is believing, but rather believing is seeing. For example, guaranteed, if you're trying to manifest more money and don't have it, then either you spend more time thinking about the lack or believing in the lack than you do believing you have it. And another possibility is that you're attached to the outcome. In yogic terms, attachment means attention to a desired outcome. As Swami Satchidananda would say, make no appointment and you'll have no disappointment. There's always an element of selfishness when we become attached to outcomes. Do the action or make the choice, but without the attachment to the result. You can do this with great passion, but without attachment. Consequently, even if you have a positive belief, it might not manifest in the near future if you're looking for it. Trust that it will, and believe it, it will manifest. Imagination is one of the motivating agencies that helps transform your beliefs into physical experience. Master Kathumi says that your intentions to manifest your needs should be realized, and if not, it is because you may be ungrounded. Fear, living in the past, and living in the future are states of awareness that unground. It doesn't mean that you can't, you know, visit the past or that you can't plan for the future, but when you are lost in it, you become ungrounded. So another possibility is that your greatest area of support in terms of abundance lies when you work in the area of excitement or your highest joy. In other words, are you following your highest joy in life? I know many of us think that we can't do our highest joy as the living because we don't think we can earn enough money. However, as Bashar would point out, it is important to do something in that direction every day, and eventually you will discover that the world will support you because your highest joy is in alignment with your higher self. The studies I have read indicate a very high percentage of the population work at jobs they hate or dislike, which must create a huge amount of stress. It would seem that a reevaluation of priorities is necessary to see if these jobs assist us to meet our needs or wants. One more factor is the soul contract you agreed to prior to incarnating this time. It may be that your higher self requires a more modest experience this lifetime. Not all of us are supposed to be millionaires. If the big money doesn't happen, take solace in one of Swami Satchidananda's saying, plan pending God's approval. Bashar's definition of abundance is the ability to do what you need and want to do when you want to do it. And, of course, the biggie is facing your fears and ultimately to claim your total personal power by conquering fear. Always keep in mind that fear does not come from the outside. It is within. Ultimately, this seemingly unloved part of us must also be healed as we become aware that part of our ego creates fear to protect us from perceived threats. Learning to be conscious creators is a process like mastering a violin. We do this all the time, but it is the time gap between when we believe in a certain way and when you see it in your outer circumstance that makes us think there is not a direct connection. If you saw this connection as immediate, then you would also have the spiritual development to control it. Imagine if we could materialize every thought with immediate results. What we experience in the world is what we believe is the most probable. Basically, there are four laws, according to Bashar, operating the universe. Number one, you exist. Isness is the only quality that existence has. It does not know how to become non-existence. That which exists has only one quality, to be, and thus that is the only thing it will always be. Therefore, you may change form, but you will always exist in some way, shape, or form. Another way to think of this is that you already have everlasting life. You can say you have previous incarnations from a linear time point of view, or you can say that ultimately all time is now, and we experience simultaneous births, and both are correct from their perspective. Outside the space and time dimensions, pure spirit is an energy that was never created, will never end, and is eternal. Your higher self is part of this energy. The second law. The one is the all, and the all are the one. This means that all the pieces together form the all, and that the one is the one that knows itself simultaneously as all the pieces. Impossible as it is for the human mind to fully comprehend, but possible to experience, is that the thought I is the first thought to appear and the last thought to disappear. True enlightenment, or the state of Sahaj Samadhi, is a state of awareness of the all and can allow you to function through the personality. One of the advanced methods of self-inquiry leads to this experience. You ask yourself the question, who am I? The thought I is placed in the center of the forehead, then mentally be aware that you are not the body, you are not your internal organs, you are not your thoughts, and you are not this spot or awareness. What spot? Unfortunately, we get lost thinking we are our thoughts, and when you are lost in anger, you become that. If you have awareness that you are angry, it is already a sign that you are starting to regain your peace. Your peace or center is very important, and if you lose your peace, you are not of use to yourself or others, but become part of a negative synchronicity. Law number three, what you put out is what you get back. There is no objective reality. There is the idea of an objective reality as a mass consciousness or perception. Physical reality doesn't exist except as a reflection of what you most strongly believe is true for you. Physical reality is literally a mirror. If you want to change in the mirror, you have to change yourself. You have to smile first, then you get the reflection. When you focus on lack, you not only believe in lack, but you continually put out the frequency of lack. Make believe at first that you have it, and eventually, because you know that thought and imagination and replacing negative beliefs will work, the outer reflection will change. But just like a seed that is planted, don't go digging it up all the time or become attached to it growing. Know that it will, and it will. Being aware of the possibility creates a shift in consciousness. Let's say you want to stop smoking. You are aware of the concept. Then you build your motivation to succeed, and you change from trying to quit to knowing that you will quit. Then later, you have quit. This is also similar to spiritual attainment. First, you need to know of the possibility of attaining a oneness with your higher self or Christ consciousness, and then you go through the process of attainment. This is analogous to what a baptism is supposed to reflect, the point at which the seed is planted. Once the seed is planted, the plant will grow. It has been said that a snake sheds its skin at the rate it sheds its skin. Otherwise stated, this law is also the law of attraction. Another adaptable principle for the third law is that all events are inherently neutral. Thus, when you put a positive meaning in, you get a positive experience, and when you put a negative meaning in, you get a negative experience. Try this out and you'll be amazed. It is also consistent with the fact that outer circumstances don't create more circumstances, only state of being creates outer circumstances. So in fact, you can choose to be in joy or be happy just for the sake of it. You will find that inside of this bubble, you are protected and outer counter beliefs will evaporate. Law number 4. Change is the only constant and everything changes except the first 3 laws. Every experience is based on a combination of these 4 laws. Even the 4th law changes as change turns to stasis. Then when it becomes active again, it gives rise to the first 3 laws. Your behavior, your choices are based on your motivations. Your motivations are based on your emotions, which stem from your definitions, which are your beliefs. Your motivation has 2 parts to it. You will always choose what you perceive to be the choice that is closest to pleasure and furthest from pain. And here is a new definition of habit. Once you are aware of a habit, it isn't a habit anymore, it is a choice. It is the most important process to get in touch with your beliefs. You can see them reflected in your lives. Even quantum physics is telling us that we live in a holographic universe. When it comes to the body, all diseasements will stem from negative emotions, relating about 95% to the following list. Doubts, jealousy, envy, anger, hatred, superiority, inferiority, selfishness, separative thinking, judgment, condemnation, anxiety, depression, fear of death and dying, victim consciousness, fear of failure, false pride, unworthiness, lack of self-love, and hopelessness. The physical manifestation of most of this is in the form of toxins in the body. According to Mary, Mother of Jesus, and I'll quote here, all disease is caused by the denial of negativity within. Since negativity is a perception based on a value judgment placed upon a neutral event or circumstance, it is essentially an erroneous belief out of which supporting false beliefs spring. Holding an erroneous belief system, especially in a suppressed or repressed form, creates an environment of internal discordance on a subconscious level. Over a period of time, denial of the judgment placed upon some aspect of oneself and then suppressed begins to alter the cellular structure of the area of the body where the memory of the event or circumstance is stored. This cellular alteration has been labeled disease. It is really emotional self-judgment. So this is absolutely consistent with Bashar teachings, and this is Mother Mary, channeled through Gene Hatch. And for further explanation of that, again, I refer the listeners to the College of Christ Consciousness. And according to Bashar, again, the outer circumstance means nothing. State of being is everything. I choose whatever state of being I prefer. And so if people think you have a loose screw, here's some good company to have a loose screw with, Bashar and Mother Mary. Now, full consciousness, abundance, and perfect health are our birthright. Unfortunately, I'm told, our DNA got messed up on purpose thousands of years ago, and instead of functioning with a double helix, 12-stranded DNA, we are only functioning with 2 strands. We're like a hairdryer with all its parts, but not plugged in. The human race is actually mutating, and our dormant DNA is starting to activate. Each physical cell in our body is in its own way a miniature brain, with memory of all its personal experiences and of its relationship with the other cells and with the body as a whole. Your conscious thoughts and habits regulate the current condition. DNA can be influenced and reprogrammed by words and frequencies, and that's according to the latest Russian DNA discoveries. These scientists also found out that our DNA produces magnetized wormholes. Wormholes are the microscopic equivalents of the Einstein-Rosen bridges in the vicinity of black holes. These are tunnel connections between entirely different areas in the universe through which information can be transmitted outside of space and time. The DNA attracts these bits of information and passes them on to our consciousness. This process of hypercommunication is most effective in a state of relaxation. Stress, worries, for a hyperactive intellect prevents successful hypercommunication. And that's according to Russian biophysicist and molecular biologist Gerasimov. These discoveries prove the human DNA is a biological internet and superior in many ways to the artificial one. They directly or indirectly explain phenomena such as clairvoyance, intuition, spontaneous and remote acts of healing, self-healing, and affirmation techniques. And according to Bashar, the human body has the capacity, now that's the capacity or the potential, to heal 99.9% of disease issues. The idea is to create a sound foundation for health and providing the body with proper nutrients. And we've said this over and over again on ET Yoga, that step one in creating optimal health and strengthening the immune system comes from thorough detoxification. And I know that for those that haven't heard me talk about this before on ET Yoga, for years and years and years, the thought of a detox was never very appealing to me. And I guess I associated it with all kinds of negative images, like, you know, sticking rubber hoses in places that weren't comfortable. But the fact of the matter is, and I'm not exaggerating here, I actually now love to do the detox programs, and I do a thorough one once a year, and I really look forward to it. And it's not about any of the rubber hose bit. It's I get my materials from the American Botanical Pharmacy in California. That's Dr. Schultz's programs. And detoxing the brain, detoxing the colon, detoxing liver, kidneys, gallbladder, all that. He's got wonderful teas and herbs, and his products are truly amazing, as are highly recommended by Bashar. So if you like the Bashar stuff and you're looking for some good products for thorough detoxing, that's a great place to get it. It's not the only place, but it's one great one. Also, at the Bashar site, of course, are all the tapes and the inner work. In my opinion, there's no better information on the planet. Now, I'm going to interject here, I guess, for some ET spin on tonight's show. I guess a lot of people are talking about some amazing ET sightings that they're expecting on October the 14th. And I don't want to come on as a skeptical. However, I'm not so certain that that in point of fact is going to be the case. Now, my circle of information, I don't know a better source than Bashar. And I'm not saying I've heard everything Bashar has ever said. And maybe he's also concurred that there's going to be some amazing sightings on October 14th of large spacecraft, etc. But Bashar has, from time to time, communicated on his channeling through Daryl Anka some amazing information about extraterrestrials. And for some reason, I don't know, some of the main line New Age groups don't seem to be clued in at all. I mean, I look around and I've never seen any mention of the Shalanaya anywhere else on the web except from Bashar. Who are the Shalanaya? Well, according to Bashar, that's going to be the first race that we're going to have contact with, open public contact. And Bashar has also intimated that the Shalanaya are already here. And they are actually associated with the phenomenon known as the Phoenix Lights. Now, for those in there live in the Phoenix area who had an angle, apparently the Phoenix Lights were a craft of Shalanaya beings, a craft that was about a mile in length, that was wedge-shaped, that hovered over the Phoenix area for hours. And you can go on the net and you can see, I guess, the lights, but at certain angles or when the craft was crossing the state of Arizona, many people actually saw the craft. And interestingly enough, Bashar has stated publicly through Daryl that in 2010, the Shalanaya will again be visiting the state of Arizona. Now, I don't know, to my own way of thinking this, and I'm not saying that there aren't going to be some amazing sightings, and there's, of course, ongoing contact with extraterrestrials all the time, so I'm not saying that there aren't going to be some amazing things happening between now and 2012, but I totally concur with Bashar when he also states that Earth is under quarantine, and we're under quarantine until 2012, so there's not going to be any open public contact, unless it's false flag contact, coming from extraterrestrials, before 2012. And he has also clearly stated that in the year 2012, the Shalanaya will in fact, have sightings similar to the one in Arizona at various sacred sites around the planet. So, you know, if you're out there and you're interested in the extraterrestrial open contact, I was one of the chair people on the committee that what was called the Open Contact Extraterrestrial Act, and I worked with Daryl, among other people, developing the wording for the bill, actually. And this bill is actually available to the public, and you can see it if you go at the website of www.bashar.org, and you can actually see what the Extraterrestrial Open Contact Act actually says. And we don't anticipate this bill to go through till after 2012. However, if you want the best information that I know about anywhere, and especially talking about extraterrestrials and in contact, Bashar even goes into a timeline of between 2012, 2017, and somewhere in that period is apparently the open public contact theoretically could begin to happen, and goes through a timeline all the way up into 2035. So I appreciate that many of us would like the extraterrestrial events to happen in a big way, and the sooner the better. But to be honest, when I go out on the web, there's lots of sifting and sorting to do, and lots of people out there making claims and making promises about extraterrestrials that, frankly, I don't know if they're making money on it or what their motivations are, but they're clearly not accurate, nor are they truthful. And that's not to say that you know, our world's changing on a daily basis, and many of these things may, in fact, that people are talking about may transpire, but yes, for now, I'm one to doubt that. So again, I'm going to point people in the direction of Bashar, because in my opinion, there is no higher information on this planet than coming from Bashar. He's a multidimensional extraterrestrial from 2,700 years in our future, and even if you don't believe it, just check out the information. And I personally have been studying his stuff for the last 20 years, and I don't see, I've never been able to find any statement made by Bashar that would didn't turn out to be accurate. So in my book, it's a high success rate of information. And what I've tried to do as well at the MaxwellGreenSight.com is to include a lot of the inner work that Bashar has taught us with respect to the transforming our core beliefs and our beliefs and definitions and the techniques that make the mental side of the equation of creating excellent health. And he would also concur that providing the body with proper nutrients, and by proper nutrients, he would define that as superfood. That is also sold at the American Botanical Pharmacy in California, through Dr. Schultz. And Daryl or nor I, you know, we're not connected with making any financial gains by promoting Dr. Schultz. And like I mentioned in one of the previous shows, there's only about four or five items that Bashar has ever recommended, and that happens to be one of them. And I've been using their products too, and I would also concur that it's a great way to effectively deal with the detoxing, and with all the toxicities that are in our environment, the sprays, the chemtrails, the fluorides and chemicals in the foods, and fluorides in the water, and all the highly toxic conditions that we are currently enduring on the planet, this is one way to counteract those negative influences. And it's done in a very positive way. And as I said, I really enjoy doing them. And I enjoy, because I'm vegan, I enjoy doing the three-day juice tasks that are involved with each of the processes of the detoxification program through Dr. Schultz's programs. And also, for those who are interested in losing weight, a great way to lose weight is just eat the superfood. It's got all the vitamins and nutrients and minerals that are required, and you don't really even need other food. So if you're looking to do a couple of weeks on superfood, that's a healthy way to actually drop some pounds. And, of course, I don't know, someplace in my writings, I think I always make the statement that the best way to lose weight is to eat less and exercise more. But this is a great way to keep your body in with all the proper nutrients. So definitely a high vote for detoxification. And I'd like to finish up this evening's information by sharing with everyone the Great American Rat Experiment. This account is taken from a book entitled Gold Dot by Lewis E. Cook. And it has been found that a group of rats were fed a diet of raw vegetables, fruits, nuts, and whole grains from birth and grew into completely healthy specimens and never suffered from any disease. They were never ill. They grew rapidly but never became fat, mated with enthusiasm, and had a healthy offspring. They were always gentle, affectionate, and playful, and lived in perfect harmony with each other. Upon reaching old age, equivalent to 80 years in humans, these rats were put to death and autopsied. At that advanced age, their organs and glands, tissues, all body processes appeared to be in perfect condition without any sign of aging or deterioration. A companion group of rats was fed a diet comparable to that of the average American. It included white bread, cooked foods, meats, milk, salt, soft drinks, candies, cakes, vitamins, and other supplements, medicines for their ails, etc., during their lifetime. And these rats became fat and from their earliest age contracted most of the diseases of modern American society, including colds, fever, pneumonia, poor vision, cataracts, heart disease, arthritis, cancer, and many more. Most of this group died prematurely at early ages, but during their lifetime most of them were vicious, snarling beasts, fighting with one another, stealing one another's food, and attempting to kill each other. They had to be kept apart to prevent total destruction of the entire group. Their offspring were all sick and exhibited the same general characteristics as their parents. As this group of rats died one by one or in epidemics or in various diseases, autopsies were performed revealing intensive degenerative conditions in every part of their bodies. All organs, glands, and tissues were affected, and were the skin, hair, blood, and their nervous system. They were all truly, totally physical and nervous wrecks. The same condition existed in the few which survived duration of the experiment. A third companion group of rats was fed the same diet as the second group to an age equivalent to about 40 years in humans. They displayed the same general symptoms of the second group, being sick and vicious, so that they had to be separated to prevent them from killing each other and stealing one another's food. At the end of this initial period, all rats in this group were placed on a strict fast with zero water to drink for a period of several days. They received the natural raw diet of the first group of rats. This diet was alternated with periods of fast, and within 1 month, behavioral patterns had changed completely, so that now they were docile, affectionate, playful creatures once again, and able to live together in a harmonious society, and from this point on, never suffered any illness. Several rats put to death and autopsied at the end of this initial period, revealing the same general deterioration as that exhibited in the second group of rats. However, the remaining rats lived out the full duration of the experiment to the equivalent of 80 years in humans, and when they were autopsied, there were no signs of aging or deterioration or disease, just as those in the first group. The obvious disease, degeneration, and deterioration of body parts evident in their first half of their life had been completely reversed and excellent health restored. The same principles apply to the human life, and there is only one truth. Thus, it may be concluded that sick people may be restored to health simply by choosing the proper diet, fasting, observing other rules of health, and there's no mystery. There's no external force that will help all healing being accomplished within the body in accordance with the laws of organic life and death. And so in conclusion, I'd like to say the heart of this health issue is based on our beliefs. We have the capacity to totally rejuvenate our entire cellular structure from the DNA on up. And if you really believe it, it is. And once a thought reaches critical mass, it will manifest in our outer reality. Daily visualization will produce effects corresponding to the power of the mind behind it. Doing visualizations, which include feeling the associated emotions with the belief that it has already been attained, will quicken the materialization of that image. Thought embraced with emotion creates outer reality. To my way of thinking, there is no inherent value in negative thought or emotion except to finally show you that it is unnecessary and detrimental. You might want to keep this idea in mind when you go through your daily lives with particular attention to images you put in your mind, the external programming that is occurring, and your emotional feeling. Do not fight disease, war, or any other undesirable condition, but focus on what you want and tune into that frequency. The frequency you tune into is what you will be attracted to and what you will create. I'm sorry to say that even the Mothers Against Drunk Drivers, or MADD, actually helped to perpetuate drunk driving. And I've noticed some of their more modern slogans have to do with positive support. The outer world creates what you think about, and I noticed recently I've seen ads like supporting safe driving, which is much, much more positive. Okay, do we have a caller? Okay. Okay, so I'd like to wish everybody full consciousness, perfect health, and abundance, and I hope to hear you next week. Good night.